You have your Bible today, would you turn to the book of Matthew? We shall be reading in Matthew chapter 7 and in Acts chapter number 1. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin reading at verse number 15. Then we're going to turn to Acts chapter 1 and begin reading at verse number 16. Acts 1 and Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Acceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, and the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph and Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus and Matthias. They prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast taken, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. They gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Would you join me now in a word of prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me and save me. Dear God, I'm glad that I get to preach today. And I want you to help me now, Lord, to preach. Spirit of God, I realize how much I need you, and I would call on you with all my soul right now, God. I pray for the ones here that's not saved, Lord. I pray you'd go right now and lay your hand on their heart and begin the process of Holy Ghost conviction that'll call them to our Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray, oh Spirit of God, will you come and fill this meeting house of God? It's been dedicated to you. We've given our time, our money, our lives, our labor, and God, we pray for you to come now, God. It's an empty hell, Father, unless you come here with us. So, oh God, will you come and help this preacher? I pray that what I say might go out somewhere, God, and get a hold of somebody's heart and stir them and call them and begin to move on their soul and get them to Jesus. I pray, God, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that right now you'd help me to preach with power and anointing and unction. Oh God, it belongs to you. You are God. You have the power. You have the anointing. You have all that we need. We beg you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory and honor that you'd help us to preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My text today is the 22nd verse of Matthew chapter 7. If I were to give this message a title, I'm going to preach to you about the first lost church member. And as I preach to you about the first lost church member, it is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 that arrested my attention one day. In fact, there's just one word in that whole verse that spurred my heart to bring this message. It is the first word of Matthew 7, 22. These are Jesus' words, so if you don't like what He said, you'll just have to take it up with Him. And our Savior is not giving the results of a Gallup poll. Our Lord is not giving somebody's opinion. He's stating absolute fact, and as deity, when He spoke, there was no lie involved. Our Lord spoke these words about the last day when people stand before God, and Jesus said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. Thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Evidently, Jesus said somebody was going to lay down, beat his last heartbeat, draw in his last lung full of air, and close his eyes, he supposed, for the sweet trip of death in the arms of the Savior and wake up in hell. Now, is that what that means? And Jesus said, this would be the experience of many. How many is many? I don't know. It's just many. It's the opposite of a few. Some folks said, oh, I don't believe in all that being in the church and being lost. Jesus did. Some folks, oh, I don't think about it. These folks getting this. I read a bleeding fundamental magazine of American Fundamentalists. Well, the editor said that to repent meant only to change your mind, and it didn't mean that you had to change your ways. That's a lie to hell. And he said, this teaching about you got to have a changed life and changed ways leads carnal believers to make repeated professions of faith when they only need to get right in the Lord. If he really meant what he said he meant, he's in bad shape. I'll tell you something. Jesus said there will be many who'll die and go to hell expecting to go to heaven. They'll enter the gates of hell through the church roll. They'll go down to the pit. And on their way to the pit, they'll make a stop in somebody's Baptist church. As they go to hell, they'll have been assured all along, you're all right, when they were dying in their sin. There must be some folks here today in that condition. There are people in my church and in your church who are on their way to hell, though they belong to our churches. Some are, quote, good members. But they're on their way to hell. And again, I say to you, my Lord would not lie, nor exaggerate, nor stretch the truth. And He said, many, many, many. If you don't like it, talk to Him. By way of introduction, I want to share three reasons why so many folks that I know are going to hell through the church house door. First is, so many folks going to hell through the church and on its roll because they have been carelessly dealt with when they came to, quote, get saved. Somebody smote their heart, and probably it was God. They walked down the church aisle, came forward and took the preacher by the hand. And he said, well, have you come upon your profession of faith today? Well, Lord God, they didn't come to fight nor to argue. They'd have stood on their head. They didn't care what it had. Whatever you say got to be done, we're here to get her done. They said, have you come today? Yeah, whatever you say, preacher. And he said, sit right down here. Clerk, would you bring the membership card? Would you prepare the baptismal robe? Come stand right here beside me. That soul's still standing there lost. Never got born again. Never repented of their sin. They believe on Jesus. I'm not
saying the preacher's got to hogtie you, read a certain passage of Scripture, and you pray a certain prayer to get saved. But I am saying you've got to get saved. Now, if that be heresy, so be it. I stand with the Lord. Careless and dealt with. We have in our day a form of easy believism that's filled our churches with unregenerated people. They've walked down our aisles. They've shaken our hands. They've signed our cards. They've got in our baptistries. We went by and shook their hands and hugged their necks and they even cried. But they never got born again. You hear me? Carelessly dealt with. Now, I may have rubbing you wrong, but I don't care. Too many folks going to hell for me to worry about your little penny ante feelings. If you want these tiny to get a herd up there, let them sign a card and run them through the tank, you've got something bad wrong with your doctrine. I don't care. Hear me, friend. Hear me. Hear me. A lady came to me one day. She said, "Preacher, preacher, preacher. I've been down the aisle 5 times in 5 different Baptist churches. She said, "I've shook the hand of 5 different Baptist preachers. I've signed 5 cards. I've been baptized 5 times. And nobody, nobody has ever took the Bible and told me how to get saved." She said, "Could you help me?" I'm going to tell you, folks, there's going to be preachers in hell. Preachers in hell. Hey, if all you know about getting somebody saved is to have them profess their faith, you've got something bad wrong. We say, this brother, this sister has come to tell us that they've got it. They're saying, "I've come to get it." We say this brother, sister has received the Lord. They're saying, "Please show me how to get saved." Am I wrong? Go to a revival. Go to an evangelistic meeting sometime. See them walk down the aisle. Bless God, they'll do it. If signing cards is Savior, we get the whole world born again. I'm not against mass evangelism, but I am against mass hellism. I'm not against people getting born again in crusade, but I am jolly well against them dying and going to hell because nobody took the time to get them down and pray over their soul. Some of you dear people, all you ever done was walk down the aisle and shake some old guy by the hand and get in the tank and sign the card and lay hugs you and cried on you. You stood there. They swarming around you. And, well, I guess this is it. I mean, that's what he said. It must be how you get it. The folks going to hell, because they've been carelessly dealt with. Some of you went down to all these churches where you got 3.5 minutes to get saved. Now, if you couldn't get born again, by the time the cards was passed in, you was passed over. Can you say amen? I think the Holy Ghost couldn't get the birth on with, and 3.5 minutes in Dr. Butler, we just had to rip her out and let her be a dead fetus. I stood and watched 2 of my children being born with Miss Peggy. Praise God, by the way, I got a nothing in layaway, amen. I'll tell you something. The instant of birth is just like that, but the labor process may be time consuming. Would you want a doctor working on your wife said, "Hey, baby, you got to get born. Come on, baby, you got 3 minutes to get born. I'm going to the golf course." Not me, Bubba. I don't want them guys that'll stay there till we get the birth over with. Well, tell you, Doc, I feel bad saying that. Little old shirt-tail idiot from the country Baptist church. But I'll tell you, I know how you get saved. That's way ahead of some of you. All you ever done is walk aisles and shake hands and sign cards and hug grandma. You never got born again, so nobody carelessly dealt with you. Second reason why so many folks are going to hell through our church houses. Some carelessly dealt with, but secondly, so many of them confused about what salvation is. Confused. The Pentecostals in our area teach you must speak in unknown tongue to be saved. The Church of Christ say you must belong to us to be saved. You've got every form of deceit and lie and doctrine perpetrated on the radio and television. They've read everybody's garbage. They've been to all the healing crusades, and they're just as mixed up as a termite in a yo-yo. They don't know how in the world you get saved. They stand off to the side and look up there at all them preachers. And they say, my God, you Campbellites say this. You Methodists say that. You Baptists say it together. You Pentecostals want me to speak in tongues. How in the name of God do you get in if you don't know how you expect me to find that? Some of you guys afraid to preach like that because your deacon's grandma is a Pentecostal. Chairman of the ushers got a Campbellite son preacher. I'll tell you something, I don't care who your grandma is, who your youngins is, where you've grown up, or what you come out of, I don't care, they're not but one way. It'll be repentance and faith by grace through faith, or you'll go to hell. Third reason so many folks going to hell through our church, many careless dealt with, many confused. And thirdly, many convinced by other people that they are okay. Convinced by other people that they're safe. Convinced by somebody else. Yeah, they said, you all right. You got what I got. You probably do. They said, now you're just a little confused. Let me give you a dose of 1 John 1:9. That'll calm you down. It will if you've been born again. Yes, sir, but if it ain't, it won't help you a bit. Hey, I'll tell you something. One time I was having a revival, and I seen a certain person go forward and get in the altar, and a good woman, a godly woman, I think a really saved woman, come down, got in the altar beside this other lady, and said, what's the matter, honey? She said, I think I'm lost. Oh, she said, if anybody saved you are, look what you've done for the church. Look how you've lived. Look what you've given. Look how you've served. Look what you've done and taught. If anybody's got it, maybe you've got it. She loved her and hugged up and said, honey, you're just confused. You're all right. Bother some of you men for your church members or your converts. Say, preacher, oh, my God, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or lost. Well, if you went to the doctor and said, I don't know if I'm well or sick, and he patted you on the head and said, huh, looked to me like you're all right. You look like you feel as good as I feel. Let's go on home. Don't let this upset you. He never put the stethoscope on your heart. He never x-rayed you. He never took your blood pressure. Never gave you any test. Never did a blood work up on you. He never did anything except say, well, you look all right to me. Just go on home. I'll tell you, you can't always tell if a man's sick by the outside, nor can you always tell if he's lost by the outside. It's the inside. Some of you dear people here today, and all you've got's the handshaking, neck-hugging kind. You've signed the cards and joined the church, and you've done what they told you to do, but nobody
ever put the stethoscope open and listen to your heart? Nobody ever cut you, did a blood work up on you and said, hey, you're tainted by Adam's sin. Nobody ever carried you and let the Holy Ghost x-ray you and say, look down into what you are down inside. Nobody ever took the Word of God sharper than a two-edged sword and said, there is what you are. I love to shout, praise my God, but I won't tell you. There's an aspect of our gospel that brings a man down and wrecks his soul and crumbles his kingdom and humbles his heart till he says, oh, God! So I don't believe in that kind. I wish you did. I want us today to look at the man, Judas. I remind you as I begin, Judas Iscariot heard the original words of Jesus recorded in Matthew 7:22. I believe Judas was standing there when Jesus said, Mena! Say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. I want to look at Judas from three sides of a triangle. I want you to see how most likely the lost, unsaved world would have looked at Judas. Then I want you to see how the church would have viewed Judas. But it's not the world's opinion that matters. It's not the church that matters. So we must thirdly look to see what Jesus Christ Himself said about Judas. I invite you to turn. We're going to look at many scriptures. First to Luke chapter 6. And verse 13. Luke chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Verse 16, Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. The first thing the lost world could have known about Judas was, hey, did you hear? Did you go down to that meeting where the Galilean was preaching the other night? They had a big revival. And this man who came from Galilee had a big meeting. And you remember Judas, who grew up in our community. You remember him. Judas came down in that meeting house and declared Jesus was his Lord and that he intended to follow him through all of his life. And he made a public profession of faith and said he had decided to follow Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Little Judas has made a public commitment to Jesus Christ. The world said he looked so sincere as he came forward in that meeting. He cried. They all rejoiced. And note the scripture even says that it was Jesus who called him to be a disciple. I say to you folks, there's some of you who've been where Judas is. You come down the aisle and said, I will make him my Lord. I'm deciding to follow Jesus. We need the emphasis on lordship, but you hear me. You can say with your mouth, he's Lord, till you turn to a piece of green moldy cheese. That don't make him Lord. You can get up and testify, he's my Lord. He's my Lord. That won't save you. That won't get you inside the kingdom of heaven. Does he say, yeah? He said Jesus was his Lord. Judas made that public quote, commitment.
You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I'll come forward during the Bible meeting. Brother Shepherd, I know I'm born again. I walked the aisle. I came forward and before all men, I confessed Him as my Lord.
So did Judas.
So if that's all you've done, you ain't done no more than Judas did.
And he died and went to hell.
Turn to Mark chapter 3.
And verse 14. Mark chapter 3. And verse 14.
And He ordained 12. Who's in the 12?
Judas.
That they might be with Him. That He might send them forth to preach. Hey, do you remember? Do you remember that fellow Judas had come forward in that big meeting? Well, that guy come down the other day, saved them and called to preach. Sure did. I won't tell you, I believe it's real too. I won't tell you, I think I'm pretty sure it's real. I just feel it is in my soul. That little fellow got up there and he preached, amen. Said, Lord, done called him. And I hear it's not too long after that. He done got himself ordained. And do you know who signed his ordination papers? Laid hands on him? You ain't going to believe this. Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, I know I'm saved. I'm a God called preacher. I've been ordained.
You ain't got nothing more than what Judas said.
Oh, I know my brother-in-law's a saved man. He's a preacher. I know she, or I should say she now. I know he's been saved. He's a preacher.
He done been ordained by a local Bible-believing fundamental school when he was separated. Pre-tribulation, rapture, born again, sanctified Baptist church.
They don't miss when they ordain one.
The first pastor of the first church ordained a lost man.
Well, I know he's saved. He's a preacher. Matthew chapter 10.
The world said, man, Judas is a Christian. Got to be. He's dedicated himself to the cloth to serve mankind.
He's given himself to a life of sacrificial living so that he may serve humanity. Yes! There's a man in the cloth. Yes! An ordained preacher. Yes! Claim Jesus as his Lord. The world said, boy, he's sincere.
Matthew 10. Remember, we're just talking about what the world could observe. Verse 1.
When it called unto him his 12
disciples, who's in the crowd? Judas.
He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. Oh, I know Brother So-and-so's a Christian. He's got a deliverance ministry. I know he's a saved man. My son went down there and he laid his hands on him and his eyes rolled back in his head. He foamed at the mouth and talked like he was in a holler log. Gave a cataclysmic spasm. Frothed and pitched in and fell limp. And it was Brother So-and-so that done it. Well, I know Brother So-and-so's a saved man. Brother Shepherd, I know I'm saved. I prayed and cast out demons.
You ain't done more than Judas did. He died and went to hell.
This crowd comes in your communion mind, pitches them a tent, hangs out their little healing and exorcism sign, advertises a full gospel meeting.
Brother Judas could have drove that crowd to absolute rapture and joy. Oh, I know they're saying they can cast out a demon. Can't do no more than what Judas did. Look further in Matthew 10:1. And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Judas could do more than our modern faith healers. The day somebody says to me, I have a record of my bone being broken and x-rayed, and Brother Stumphopper prayed over it, and it growed back together, I might believe in divine healers. But that's because you got your neuralgia and your headache removed or your backache, you've got bad problems. Judas could do better than you. Whether you had leprosy, tuberculosis, cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, whether you had every known form of ailment or disease or problem, Judas prayed over you and you got well. Some of you said, I know, Brother so-and-so is of God. People's being healed. Brother Judas would have been right at home. So I don't like that. Well, then lump it. I'm telling you, the world says Judas was all right. We've seen him heal people. We've seen him cast out demons. We've seen him raise folks even maybe from the dead. Oh, Judas. The world would have said from all outward evidences, he's a saved man. The world says about you, say, preacher, I prayed. I know I'm saved. God heal me. You're just doing like Judas. Secondly, I want you to see from the Scripture what the church thought about Judas. Stay in Matthew 10 and look at verse 7. Well, let's back up to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and in any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. First thing the church would have said to you about Brother Judas is this. He's a fundamentalist with a capital F. He believes all the right doctrine. He believes in the verbal inspiration, the virgin birth, the blood atonement. He's even pre-tribulation, premillennial. He believes every jot and every tittle. I won't tell you, I know he's saved. I know he's saved. Look how right he believes. Some of you just know you're saved because you believe the Bible's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That just means you know and believe as much as Judas knew and as Judas believed. They said, well, Brother Judas, when he gets up, he preaches what Jesus said. You can preach the right thing, friend. Still be lost and on your way to hell. Secondly, I believe Judas could pray. Now, remember, they were together 3.5 years. Can't you get the picture? Here they're having a prayer meeting around the Sea of Galilee. Peter and James and John, all of them praying around. And they get to Brother Judas. He says, I'm a little cold here, y'all. Let's go ahead. I ain't praying tonight. You believe he'd done that 3.5 years? I mean, it come time for Brother Judas to pray. He'd throw both hands up in the air and cry out to God with one of the most heart-rending, fervent prayers you ever heard. He prayed till he shouted and run up down the shores of Galilee, a heaven of spell. And he prayed till they just went wild.
You say, Brother Shepherd, I know I'm saved. My baby got sick. I walked in the hard corridor in that lonely hospital. Stuck my face in the window pane. And I begged God to save my baby's life. And that baby was spared. 1st of all, God might have been answering somebody else's prayer instead of yours. You just happened to be shooting at the same thing and somebody else's bullet brought it down. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I pray for money and I got money. I pray for help and I got help. I've had answered prayer. You hear me? You hear me? No answered prayer proves you're saved. Judas had them answered too, I believe. So getting quiet out here. You just get up and show me chapter and verse, sir. You're walking with Judas. Aren't these folks hunting them a deeper prayer life? Or having a prayer meeting with Brother Judas? You say, well, the church said, you want to know about who? Oh, what did you say? One of the members of First Baptist Church of Jerusalem said, what? You want to know about who? You mean Iscariot? One of these 12? You're asking me if he? Man, where you been? You don't know if that one is a member in good standing. They just said, according to Acts 1:22, let me told you something. Judas Iscariot is Baptist. In fact, he is baptized by John the Baptist in running water in the River Jordan. By immersion. With the Trinitarian formula, maybe. I don't know. What do you mean? Man, John the Baptist baptized him. You say, how do you know he is a Baptist? Because I'm smarter than you are. If a Methodist baptizes you, what does that make you? It makes you a Methodist. If Episcopalian baptizes you, what does that make you? Makes you Episcopalian. If a Catholic baptizes you, guess what that makes you? That makes you a Catholic. For what did it make Judas when John the Baptist baptized him? Made him a good old Baptist. And you said, hey, First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. How about Judas? Man, he's a good one. Him done been baptized in running water in River Jordan by John the Baptist, by mercy. Some of you say, I know I'm saved. One of them fellows that had the succession baptized me. That's what I said. I know I'm saved. I belong to the Baptist church. I don't belong to them folks. Hatch under and all that scattered mixed breed business. I'm pure blood, rock red, river washed Baptist. I mean, you got your little certificate hanging up on the wall. Every time you get to worrying about going to hell, you can look up at your certificate. Yep, they got me. Boy, you know, you're saved. Man, I done got baptized. So did Judas. Turn to John 12. The church said, well, he preaches. The church said, well, he prays. Church said, mankind, Judas was baptized by John the Baptist. And you want to know if we think he's saved? Man, you've got to be crazy. John chapter 12, verse 3. John 12, 3, then Mary took a pint of ointment, spiked her very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and how filled the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, we should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor this? He said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And had the bag, draw a line under that, and bear what was put therein. Judas was the treasurer of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. They said, now, look here, folks, there ain't no sense all us 12 apostles toting money. It's stupid. We're going to give all the MasterCard and Visa cards, all the cash in the checkbook in Brother Judas' name, and we'll let him keep up with the finances and give us a quarterly report, and we'll just be well satisfied. Oh, he said, now, Brother Judas, we're giving you this church office because we got such confidence in you. I've learned two things about Baptists. You don't fool with their pocketbook, and you don't fool with their belly, and you can get along just fine. But you have a long sermon and a big offering. On the day we'll have dinner on the grounds and butt you in hot water. And they said, what? You want to know, do we think Brother Judas is a Christian? Lord God, man, we made him the treasurer. We gave him the money. We got a church office and we voted to give him. Now, would you turn your money in your church over to a man who told you he was lost? Brother Shepherd, I know I'm saved. Last fall, when they was having elections, they elected me a teacher. Preacher, I done been made a department director this year. You are looking at a deacon candidate. Brother Shepherd, I know I'm saved. Man, they've done set me apart to be a deacon. I got my ordination certificate right up on the wall. And I'm a Christian preacher. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm the piano player. I'm the song leader. I'm leading a train union this year. I got me an office. Well, you ain't done no more than Brother Judas did. And all the church said, yes, he's a saved man. We trust him. He could do everything they could do. Let me show you one more passage in Mark 14, verse 18. Mark chapter 14 and verse 18. The setting is the Last Supper. Mark 14, verse 18. As they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. They began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it Judas? Is it Judas? Is it Judas? Is it Judas? Lord Jesus, is it me? 3.5 years he walked and preached and prayed, had a church office. 3.5 years he went every step they went. He talked like they talk and looked like they look. He walked like they walked. He loved like they saw. He did everything they did. And they said, oh God, I bet I'd betray you, Jesus, before Brother Judas would. They never knew. You say, preacher, nobody knows that all I did was join the church. They all think I'm all right. They all thought Judas was all right, friend. You say, preacher, my family says I'm religious and I'm good and I'm moral. Preacher, my family knows I go to church. I won't tell you, Judas, his family saw him go to church, walk the aisle, get ordained, go out on a missionary tour, take the church office, preach, heal the sick, cast They saw it through it all. I bet they said, man, that's our boy. But he's on his way to hell. Think with me just a minute. Just this one thought. The devil will let you do anything as long as you don't get saved. Do you understand what I'm telling you, friend? Dear religious, sweet, good people, do you understand? Do you see? The devil will let you do anything. Man, you can be a deacon if you'll die and go to hell. You can play the piano if you'll go to hell. You can be the treasurer. You can be the pastor. You can go out here and have prayer meetings. He'll let you believe the verbal inspiration of Scripture if you go to hell believing it. He'll let you read a King James Bible if you just won't do what it says and get saved. He'll let you raise good children. He'll let you be a preacher's wife. He'll let you do anything. You can do anything. You just won't get saved. We have said, look what I do. I must be saved. And I say to you, it must be, look what happened to me at that time and place when I got born again. Whatever I do now doesn't mean I'm saved. It means I'm doing something because I got saved. I'll tell you, you can do the works of religious Christianity and not be saved. Is that heresy? Am I lying to you? My wife is a good woman. Have to be to live with me. And you can say amen. I can't see your faces from up here. When my wife was a young girl, her Sunday school teacher said one day, hey, hon, the other little girl's going to join the church today. Don't you think it's time you made a profession of faith and come and join the church? Well, yeah, whatever you say. Yeah, if it's time, let's get it. You know, let's go. And so, on Sunday morning, here they come, boogity, boogity, boogity. Shake the good old God-fearing preacher's hand. Sign the good old card. Hug everybody's neck. Make our profession of faith. Come on next Sunday and get baptized. Join the church. You got it. Everybody said, oh, we're so glad. We're so glad. We're so glad for you. Oh, they're all so happy. Come on through the years, and she met me and went away to college where I attended. And had a revival we went to. Big crowd. Good sermon. Holy Spirit conviction there. Sitting way up in the balcony on the speaker's right. During the invitation, she got up, went down the aisle, downstairs, down the front. Never told me what she's doing or why. Saw her talk with a man. Got up, read her name, coming on public profession of faith. I wept like a baby. I'm so glad she got saved after that experience of a false religion. I was so relieved. Oh, I was just blessed. And we come after service. She got baptized that same service. And come after the service and sat on the steps out there and cried like babies. We called her mom and daddy and called my mom and daddy and told all of our friends and in both all around the campus. Man, we so happy. And, man, I just floating on a cloud. Things went on. We had a Bible club with black children in the ghetto area. Active in soul winning and evangelistic work there in the school. And come on down through time, got engaged and married me and went away with me to school to Mid-America and sacrificed hard for us to go to school, both of us going to school. And come on, took the church out where I'm at now. just helped me and loved me. And she gave her money. And I, when we got married, I said, listen, baby, I'll tell you something. I said, I give a certain percentage. It's above the tithe. I said, we get married. And I said, we'll stay that way if we have to eat beans and taters. Or if you just eat beans one day and taters the next. Or if we eat beans one day and water and let them swell and then have taters the next. I said, not going. I said, going to go on now. I said, not going to steal from God. Oh, she said, that's fine. She loved me and supported me. She prayed and taught children's church and Sunday night and Sunday school classes and just a model wife, a virgin when I married her. Just on and on. I could tell you all she does. One day, she said, I want to talk to you. I said, what's the matter, honey? She said, I got something to tell you. She said, you remember when I got saved? Or thought I did? I said, yeah. She said, I come down the aisle and said, I talked to Dr. So-and-so. I tell you his name. I said, I told him, I don't know if I'm saved or lost. And he said to me, well, you just pray this prayer, Lord, if I'm not saved, save me. You get mad if you want to. Nobody goes to heaven on that prayer. If they do, my Jesus lied. I don't care who you are, how big your church is. You ain't scaring me. God's behind my doctrine. You'll end up in hell if you hang on to yours. He told her, he said, you just pray this little prayer, Lord, if I'm not saved, save me and be sincere. And well, that'll fix it. Well, she didn't come to argue. She didn't come to fuss, be belligerent. Yeah, whatever you say, doctor. Oh, Lord, if I'm not saved, please save me. In Jesus' name, amen. She said, I don't know. He said, sign the card. Hand the card to the pastor. Pastor read her name, Peggy Diane Pollock, come with an idle profession of faith. Ask her three questions. Carried her to the side for baptism. Say, you're bitter? No, I ain't bitter a bit. I'm just telling you the truth. Carried her in the back. She said to the lady as she got her baptismal robe on, walking up the steps, she said, listen, lady, I'm not sure. I don't know if I got saved or not. I don't want to be baptized. The lady just said, you just go right ahead, honey. Just trust the Lord. Just believe the Lord. Just follow in baptism. Just go on obey the Lord now. Go right on. You fundamentalists, that was a fundamental Baptist church. She said, I walked into the baptistry and I said, well, I've done all they told me to do. I've said what they said to say. I've prayed what they said to pray. I've tried to believe. She said, I guess this is all there is to it. Went on, got baptized, and acted happy. But she said, David, nothing happened in here. I'll tell you something. If something didn't happen in your soul, you didn't get nothing either. You say, well, I prayed, Lord, if I'm not saved, save me. And I believed Him. Yeah, and you'll die and go straight to hell. Nobody gets saved on the Lord if I ain't saved, save me prayer. Say, prove it gladly. Jesus said, that good enough for you? I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He ain't a hunting no other kind. And if you don't know you're lost, you will not exercise saving faith. Some of you don't believe in saving faith. If I was you, I wouldn't either if you'd never experienced it. tell you something. You said, Lord, if I'm not saved, please save me. You're still lost in your sins. Them, Lord, if I ain't saved, please save me prayers are nothing more than religious fire and cancer riders on your supposed religious insurance. You scared you'll wind up in hell and you thought you just put that on there. Ever talk to these folks? Say, I pray every night, Lord, if I ain't saved, please save me. You know what they're saying? I'm lost and I'm going to hell and I can't get it settled and I'm trying to act like I have. She said, listen, ain't nothing happened to me. I'm lost. Man, I've tried. We cried and prayed and read the Bible and went back to her experiences. And I say to you, if you're saved, you're saved because you got saved. And if you never got saved, all the junk you've done since then ain't worth a hill of beans in God's eyes. The devil lets you do anything if you'll die and go to hell. So, I said, well, Lord God, I don't know what to do. I'm more honest than some of you. If I don't know, I'll just tell you, I don't know. Some of you preachers are so afraid if one of your deacons got saved, it'd wreck your, quote, ministerial image. Hang me if I want a deacon in hell. I want my image to look good on the other side. It ain't never going to be too good down here. I get over and have my own to say, oh, there's an old gun, barrel straight, hard-nosed, narrow-minded, Bible-believing, born-again preacher. They'll like me up yonder. If you don't like me, I got a sneaking suspicion where you're going. She said, I'm tore up. That was a Friday. Went to bed and couldn't hardly sleep. Next morning, I was to go to the state penitentiary to have services and give out tracts and preach. And it takes all day long. My men and I go once a month. And she said, listen, we had no children then. And she said, well, listen, I'm going to go see Rob and Joan Pelkey down at Myrtle. I said, go ahead, baby. Go where you want to go. I don't care anything. It'll help you. Some of you are so afraid you won't get to save them until you let them go to hell. And I said, go on, baby. She went down to Myrtle. Man, Myrtle's a good place to come through to get saved. And she come down here. I got home that night. Man, it just barely made it through that. I walked in the door. She met me at the door. And I said, oh, God. What's it going to be? And a big old grin. Her first words was, it was so easy. She said, it was so easy. Oh, praise God. You talking about stirring things up next Sunday morning. Glory to God. She's kind of worried about what they think. Well, I'd have been too. You'd have been too. Shoot, if they wanted my wife to go to hell, I figured they was already going. Wasn't no sense worrying about that crowd. You get mad because my wife got born again. I'll tell you, I don't value your opinion very highly. Some of you folks say, well, what do my friends say? What do my kin folks say? What do my neighbors say? What do my church members say? I'll tell you, anybody wants you to go to hell and be mad because you're going to heaven, they ain't got much religion no way. That crowd that knows the God of heaven and His Son Jesus and been birthed by His Spirit will say, well, hallelujah. The church said, boy, Peggy Shepherd, best woman member we got. Nobody gives more praise, more comes, more works harder.
She didn't wear pants. Didn't wear shorts. Didn't dip. Didn't chew. Didn't smoke. Didn't play cards. Didn't watch a soap opera. Faithful to one husband for one lifetime. Clean living. Preacher's wife. Better lost than some of you are saved on the outside, but going straight to hell. Not anymore. Now, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you her salvation experience for this reason. Some of you folks have had that 3.5 minute job pulled on you. And the Lord, if I'm not saved, get me stuff. I'll tell you, you're on your way to hell. The world said Judas is all right. The church said Judas is all right. Briefly, I want you to look at three places where Jesus said he's all wrong. First is John chapter 6 and verse number 70 and 71. Perhaps you believe Judas went to heaven. Not if you believe the Word of God. John 6 and verse 70 and 71. Three times Jesus said Judas went to hell. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus said, "Judas is a devil." The Lord looks out at you. The world may say, "Yes, you're a good Christian." The church may say, "Oh, yeah, you're one of our best members, a deacon, a preacher, an officer, a teacher, a worker, a giver, a prayer, a comer, a server." God looks out at you and says, "You're a great old big devil." Just in case you ain't checked lately, there won't be no devils in heaven. Secondly, in John 17 and verse 12. John 17 and verse 12. Our Lord is praying in Gethsemane, talking to His Father. And as He prays about the men God's given Him, John 17, 12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled." Jesus said, "Father, You gave them to me. I've kept them all. And they're all saved. But one's lost." Jesus here says to His Father, "I've got a lost one among the 12. Just in case you hadn't checked, there won't be no lost people in heaven. The world may say, "Hey, what a good woman. Some of you ladies wear dresses and you live godly. You don't run around on your husbands and you try to act right and work and serve. And you've been a good mother, a good grandmother. You've lived a clean, moral life." But I won't tell you, you are a devil. You're a lost one if you don't have Jesus. The third place is Matthew 26. And verse 24. Matthew 26 and verse 24. Our Lord said these words in Matthew 26, verse 24. "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said unto him, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." Jesus Christ looked out at Judas and said, "Hey, I will tell you, somebody's going to betray if Judas had... Oh, he said, Judas, I wish you died in your mother's womb. Oh, Judas, I wish you'd been brought forth stillborn. Oh, Judas, I wish your mother had aborted you. Oh, Judas, I wish life had never been conceived in the womb of your mother. I wish, Judas, you'd have been brought forth a dead embryo, a lifeless fetus. Oh, Judas, I wish you'd never been born. Why? Because since you got born and you betrayed me, you're going to hell. The world may say, there's a sincere one. The church may say, yeah, that's one of our very best right there. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. But Jesus Christ has come today. The Holy Ghost has sat down beside you and said, you're a devil. Nobody thinks you're a devil, but you are a devil. The Spirit of God has come to you and said, hey, you're lost. The Lord would say to you, you'd been better never to have been born. Because you're going to die and go to hell. You hear me? Lord, if I'm not saved, please save me. I ain't never produced a spiritual birth. When you know you're lost, then you'll turn to Jesus in repentance. Some of you here don't know Him. We love you. We like you. We accept you and we are proud of you. But you've never been born again. You've dined and signed and been dipped. You've been accepted and voted on. You've got a church letter at a church office, ordination papers. But you don't have Jesus. You're a devil. You're lost. I wish to God you'd never been born if you don't get saved. Will you bow your head? Brother Jim, will you come? We're going to sing a few verses of Just As I Am without one plea. And I want you to come if you're lost. I want you to come get in this altar. Somebody will come help you. And when you come, don't pray that, Lord, if I'm not saved stuff. If you're lost, tell Him. If you're not, stay there till you either get lost or get saved. Get it settled today. Could I pray for you? Lord, help those to come that need to come. Break the pride for Jesus' sake. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please?